And guys, we'll get a chance to get into our study this morning. So we're up to the book of Esther in the Old Testament. We've been going through the scriptures verse by verse, and thank the Lord we've been through the New Testament. We're working our way through the Old Testament, and we are up to Esther this morning in chapter 4 is about where we're going to begin. So if you want to follow along in your Bibles, that's where you can get started there. All right, we get a chance to get back into the book of Esther today and remember how important this story was in the history of Israel. This was the moment when the Jews could have been wiped out as a people, but God was going to rescue them, and he was going to use Esther and her uncle Mordecai as key figures in this story. Now, last time, we saw that a decree had been written, and it had been sent out in letters to all the king's provinces. 127, huge territory. And the letter declared to the people that they should destroy, kill, and annihilate all the Jews, both young and old, little children, and women. Excuse me. And then the people were to plunder the possessions of the Jews that they had just slaughtered. That was what the directions were in this order that went out. And that this was all supposed to take place on one certain day, which was to be about 11 months after the time that these letters were delivered to people. So it's a horrible time in their history, horrible crimes being done by their government at the time there. And we're going to see the reaction of the Jews once these letters became known. But first, I want us to start reading at the end of chapter 3, just two verses, verses 14 and 15. So if you look at Esther 3, down to verse 14, a copy of the document was to be issued as law in every province, being published for all people, that they should be ready for that day. The couriers went out, hastened by the king's command, and the decree was proclaimed in Shushan, the citadel. So the king and Haman sat down to drink, but the city of Shushan was perplexed. And we mentioned that last time. We saw that how cold and heartless both of these men were. You know, where was their humanity? They just sent a letter out for people to be slaughtered, including all the family, you know, children, the wives, it didn't matter. And they're just going to sit down and have a friendly drink together. You know, it's such a horrible, wicked thing to see. And we have to ask that question a lot of times in our world. Where was their humanity? Unfortunately, we know the answer. It's sin that has plagued us and has removed the opportunity for us to have humanity toward others. So let's get started in chapter 4, then verse 1, when Mordecai learned all that had happened, and he tore his clothes, it says, and put on sackcloth and ashes, and he went out into the midst of the city. He cried out with a loud and bitter cry. So these were the signs of mourning and tremendous grief. I mean, think about this. This was a sure death notice. And there was no way out of it. Because once a law was made of the Medes and Persians, it could not be broken. Look back at Esther chapter 1, down to verse 19. It talks about this. Esther 1:19 says, "If it pleases the king, let a royal decree go out from him, and let it be recorded in the laws of the Persians and the Medes, so that it will not be altered." And they had such a legal system that once they made a law, there was no backing out of it. So there weren't going to be any changes made. It was going to be set in stone. So this is a living nightmare for Mordecai. And he just lets it all out with that cry of bitterness that's coming from his soul. Can you imagine that if you heard on one particular day all Christians will die and what that would feel like? And then to know that there was no way to get out of that death sentence. I hope we never have to find out what that feels like. Verse 2 goes on, "He went as far as the front of the king's gate, for no one might enter the king's gate clothed with sackcloth." So Mordecai not only went into the midst of the city and cried out. So here he is in the middle of the city. He's not hiding his grief at all. He's putting it on display. So Mordecai not only went into the middle of the city and cried out, but he also went all the way to the front of the king's gate. And this was dangerously close to being in a position where Mordecai may have been killed that very day. But we see here that Mordecai was fearless. And he had made concluded that he didn't have anything to lose, you know, since he already had the sentence of death on him because of Haman's evil law. So when it tells us here, you're not allowed to enter the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. There was a reason for that. And we'll see that just a little bit here. Excuse me. Verse 3 now. And in every province where the king's command and decree arrived, there was great mourning among the Jews with fasting, weeping, and wailing. And many lay in sackcloth and ashes. Mordecai wasn't the only one who was shattered over this bad news. All the Jews, everywhere were wailing and weeping and mourning. They also knew the seriousness of this law that could not be revoked. Scary, scary picture there. So verse 4, Esther's maids and eunuchs came and told her, and the queen was deeply distressed. Then she sent garments to clothe Mordecai and take his sackcloth away from him, but he would not accept them. So she had heard about Mordecai, him wearing these sackcloth and being so close to the king's gate, and that got her concerned pretty quick here. So at this point, Esther didn't know about the decree to kill all the Jews. That had been revealed to her. She just heard that Mordecai was at the king's gate, that he was wearing sackcloth, which were the garments for mourning, and she knew that Mordecai was in danger of losing his life by doing that. And that was enough to make her deeply distressed. So she made an attempt to rescue him by sending clothes that he could put on and get rid of the sackcloth before someone told the king about his condition here and where he was standing. So no one was ever supposed to make the king feel bad. And the idea was if someone came in with sackcloth, meaning they were mourning, they walked into this area inside the king's gate. It was kind of a picture. You're bringing sadness to the king, and you don't ever want to do that. Now, we see this in other places, too. If you remember back in Nehemiah chapter 2, and I'll read that to you. We went through that before, but these kings had extreme power, and you did not want to make them have a bad day. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was before him, that I took the wine and I gave it to the king. This is Nehemiah speaking here. Now I had never been sad in his presence before. Therefore the king said to me, "Why is your face sad, since you are not sick? This is nothing but sorrow of heart." And here's Nehemiah's answer to that. He said, "So I became dreadfully afraid." Whew, the power these guys had to snuff out your life if you made them feel down or bad. It's a scary picture. And this is related to us in Scripture pretty clearly, okay? So back in Esther chapter 4 down to verse 5. Then Esther called Hathach, one of the king's eunuchs whom he had appointed to attend her, and she gave him a command concerning Mordecai to learn what and why this was. Now here's this guy that works for Esther. It's one of her servants who's been appointed by the king. And she gives him this command, and it's concerning Mordecai. And she says, "I want you to go do it and find out what's going on." And she's got a command that she's going to pass on there. So when Esther found out that Mordecai refused the change of clothes that she had sent and that he was going to continue to wear his sackcloth, she sent a messenger to get the whole story. And that was a wise thing for her to do. Because you know, guys, sometimes there may be more to the story than you can see up front. You know, we might make a judgment when we first see something happen, but we may not know the whole story. For instance, I know there have been times when someone has come into our church building and asked for some money. And when others hear that we refuse to help them, they may have taken that wrong and thought that we didn't care about people. And what they probably didn't know was that we have had previous dealings with this person, and We know them well enough to know that they're just wanting money to buy booze or drugs. And we obviously weren't going to help that person destroy themselves or hurt others by giving them money for such things. So sometimes there is more to the story than what can be seen at first sight. Now to verse 6. So Hathach went out to Mordecai in the city square that was in front of the king's gate. And Mordecai told him all that had happened to him and the sum of money that Haman had promised to pay into the king's treasury to destroy the Jews. He also gave him a copy of the written decree for their destruction, which was given at Shushan, that he might show it to Esther and explain it to her, and that he might command her to go to the king to make supplication to him and plead before him for her people. So Mordecai gave him all the evidence, including a copy of the written decree to take to Queen Esther. But then he gave some information for Esther in the form of a command to her. And now that was something that was going to hit her blindsided. She wasn't going to be expecting this. So to do what Mordecai said, she knew that she was going to be risking her life. And under her current circumstances, she had no idea here that inclination that the king would even want to see her, since he had not asked for her in over a month. And we'll take a closer look at that in a minute, but scary stuff what he's asking her to do here. Have you ever felt the deck was stacked against you, but then it was your turn to make a move, and you knew that it was going to bring about the most awkward and the most dangerous moment of your life? This is an amazing story to put yourself in their shoes and try to imagine all the thoughts and emotions that were going through their minds and their hearts. I mean, Esther was probably thinking, you know, if I do this, then I'm probably going to die today. And just think that when she woke up that morning, she probably thought this was just going to be another normal day. But you know, we aren't guaranteed those normal, ordinary days in this life, are we? And it's no wonder that Jesus tells us in the New Testament to be sober and be alert. And that message is carried through the New Testament as a reminder to us. So verse 9, so Hathach returned and told Esther the words of Mordecai. I wonder if his voice was shaken as he had to deliver this dangerous message to the queen. I mean, Mordecai made a command to her. And interesting picture here. So verse 10. Then Esther spoke to Hathach and gave him a command for Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces know that any man or woman who goes into the inner court of a king who has not been called, he has but one law: put all to death, except the one to whom the king holds out the golden scepter, that he may live. Yet I myself have not been called to go into the king these 30 days. So she hasn't been requested to be with him for 30 days. And she's kind of like, you're asking me to just kind of barge in there? And the thought scares her pretty bad. So notice first of all that in verse 10, this message was a command for Mordecai. And I think without spelling it out for him, she was basically saying, don't ask me to do this because I'm not going to do it. I do not have a death wish, I think was what she was getting across. So how do you like these laws they have in their land? It doesn't matter if it's a man or a woman, but if you approach the king's court and he didn't ask you to come there, put all to death. No questions asked. And the only exception was if the king just happened to be in a good enough mood to hold out his golden scepter toward you. That sounds like quite a gamble, because that sign that says, put all to death who enter here, doesn't sound like he was too friendly of a guy anyway, huh? So it kind of sounds like on a normal day, and you start to come that direction and see that sign, put all to death, you might back off and say, you know what, I think I'll consider this and maybe try to get through a different way and talk to get a message to the king. So, scary picture here, and Esther's fully aware of that. Verse 12, so they told Mordecai Esther's words, and Mordecai told them to answer Esther this, do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Wow. Mordecai, he clearly let her know, you cannot escape this decree of death. Or your face is on that wanted poster too. So even though you're the queen, because of your Jewish heritage, you are going to die too. And notice first also that we get to see the outstanding faith of Mordecai here. Just look at his faith. He knew in his heart that God would come through regardless of Esther's response. So a great lesson for us here. Trust in God and not in man. Mordecai didn't rest his trust in Esther. He rested his trust in the Lord. See, he knew that God was not going to forsake his people. And he probably also was familiar with the promise that God had made to Abraham, that he would bless those who blessed Abraham, but he would curse those who cursed him. And that passes all the way on through the people in the family line of Abraham. So blessing or curse, depending on how you treat Abraham's people. So he knew, and Mordecai here had a good understanding of this, I'm sure. And the thing for us is, when you have a promise from God in his word, you can rest assured that God is always going to keep his promise. And then Mordecai's message was, you and your father's house will die. Reminding her that her own family and all her loved ones, you know, will die also. So if our motivation isn't enough to consider saving our own life, then we should at least do it for our family and our loved ones. Queen Esther was afraid to step out and try to get her people saved. But how many of us, you know, are afraid to step out and spread the gospel? Can we do it, if not for us, then at least for our family and our loved ones? And then Mordecai, he makes a very famous statement here to Esther. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Esther was in such a strategic place. If you want to get a message through to a king such as this, it really helps if you have someone on the inside that he just might listen to, given the right circumstances. So the Lord put Esther in just the right place to make a difference. And God has placed us where we're at too for a reason. I like what Spurgeon said. You have been wishing for another position where you could do something for Jesus. Do not wish anything of the kind, but serve him where you are. And Spurgeon went on to say basically that God is in the process of making lamps, and their purpose is to shine in the darkness. So as a believer, you have the light of Christ inside of you. So in what darkness has God placed you as a light to shine? Verse 15. Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise. So she's asking them to do this, and she's saying, I'm going to do the same, and I'm going to have my servants here, the maids, do this with me. And so I will go to the king, which is against the law. She understands that very clearly. And if I perish, I perish. So it's interesting here that Esther, she was encouraged in the Lord to take this scary step of faith, you know, but She wisely decided not to do it alone. She asked for major prayer support. And guys, when the Lord calls us to a task that is much too large for us, then we need to ask our brothers and sisters in Christ for prayer and support too. Guys, I've seen at times that some people, they have prayer requests, but they don't want to make them known to the church family. And I know there are times when you might be afraid of what others might think, you know, if they heard that you had such a different kind of prayer request to bring. But, you know, sometimes we need major prayer support for this request. And I've heard some of these prayer requests. I'm thinking, man, we need to get this for the church family. We need more people praying, you know. So I'm not saying that you got to bring every single thing before the people there, especially if it's extremely personal. But if you need serious help, then please allow your heartfelt prayer request be known to the church family. We've been blessed here with some great heartfelt prayer warriors, you know, and I thank the Lord for them all. And we see at the end here in verse 16, excuse me, that Esther got to that point where she decided that she was going to be obedient no matter what. And guys, when we get to that point, that's when you can expect to see the Lord do some amazing things. This is what makes for some great testimonies on the other side of that kind of step of faith. So verse 17, so Mordecai went his way, and he did according to all that Esther commanded him. Now, I know that Mordecai might sound pretty upfront at times, but don't miss his humble obedience here. He obeyed the commands from his stepdaughter to the letter here. We see great faith and great obedience in Mordecai. And those two things go hand in hand, faith and obedience. Some people deceive themselves and they say that they're walking by faith, but you see them openly disobey the Lord. That is not walking by faith. Now, chapter 5, it happened on the third day. That's what Esther asked for, 3 days of prayer. That Esther put on her royal robes and stood in the inner court of the king's palace across from the king's house while the king sat on his royal throne in the royal house facing the entrance of the house. So Esther was standing right in the king's view. He couldn't miss her. This took amazing courage because Esther knew from personal experience that the king could turn pretty quickly against the queen. Obviously, that's how she got her position to be queen. And we can clearly see here how Esther was trusting in the Lord to step out like this into such dangerous territory. Verse 2, so it was when the king saw Queen Esther standing in the court that she found favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. Then Esther went near and touched the top of the scepter there. So she probably couldn't do it out loud, but I would imagine that Esther sighed a breath of relief on the inside. What a scary moment. You know, but the Lord answered prayer and he gave her favor in the eyes of the king. Amazing here. So verse 3, the king said to her, what do you wish, Queen Esther? What is your request? It shall be given to you up to half the kingdom. I think the Lord used Esther's natural beauty here, excuse me, to get the king in a good mood. Because if you notice, excuse me guys, sorry. It says here that he saw her and that she found favor in his sight. Now, we know that this king, he had a flair for beauty because he wanted to show off the beauty of his last queen, if you remember, before Esther came along. So notice that the Lord uses us as we are. He made us to be the person that we are so we can reach the people that he designed us to reach. Some of us, you know, we can reach people. You guys, you can reach people that I never could reach. Because that's because of the special way that God made you to reach those particular people. That's one reason that we don't get upset, you know, if another guy comes in the air and he wants to start a Calvary Chapel in our town. they can reach people that we're not able to reach. And besides, this is the Lord's work. You know, we don't have the only monopoly on that. So verse 4 goes on here. So Esther answered, "If it pleases the king, let the king and Haman come today to the banquet that I have prepared for him." Now, look at the amazing wisdom that the Lord gave to Esther. By asking the king to attend a banquet, she was going to set the stage and get him in a good mood before she made her request known. You know, sometimes I think we shoot ourselves in the foot by just blurting out our desires without first setting the person at ease. We probably don't appreciate it ourselves either if someone would just come bursting in our presence, you know, and start making demands, right? So I see that the Lord gave amazing wisdom to Esther. And I believe it was a direct answer to prayer. Guys, the Lord answers prayer so many times. Don't miss that. You know, there are things that happen, and they only happen because of the Lord. So don't miss that point that the Lord is answering amazing prayer here. Do you know that we can pray and we can ask the Lord to give us favor in the eyes of someone who is over us? I mean, we've prayed for favor before from a boss, and the Lord has answered that prayer in amazing ways. So don't hesitate asking the Lord for help in circumstances like these. Now, verse 5. Then the king said, "Bring Haman quickly, that he may do as Esther has said." So the king and Haman went to the banquet that Esther had prepared. Although the Lord was probably, you know, exaggerating about how far he was willing to go, his willingness to please Esther's desire did show that the Lord had opened his heart to be favorable toward him. It says at the banquet of wine there, the king said to Esther, "What is your petition? It shall be granted to you. What is your request? Up to half the kingdom, it shall be done." Like we said, he's probably exaggerating there, but let's just know, wow, the Lord really opened his heart, huh? Verse 7 goes on, "Then Esther answered and said, 'My petition request is this. If I have found favor in the sight of the king, and if it pleases the king to grant my petition, excuse me, and fulfill my request, now let the king and Haman come to the banquet which I will prepare for them, and tomorrow I will do as the king has said.'" So Esther put off her request for one more day, asking them to come to a second banquet. And we're not told why she wanted to wait longer. Could it be that she was still too afraid to speak these words to the king? That would be totally understandable, since she was going to have to produce an extremely awkward moment in order to say her piece. The pressure in such a situation is probably beyond our understanding. I know that when I was at a local court one time, I had to respond to the questions of a local judge about a traffic violation. And the intense pressure of that setting alone was enough to make me shake in my boots. I mean, when you think about the power of the person you're standing before, and they could order you to be handcuffed and drug off to jail if they felt it was warranted. Wow, I can't imagine Queen Esther, you know, having to ask that scary question before the king. He's probably the most powerful man in the world at that time. Whew. Unbelievable pressure. But you know, on the other hand, if the Lord allows us to be in a situation like that, I would hope that we had gathered plenty of prayer support and that the Lord would then supply the courage for us to speak. After all, Jesus did tell the disciples that they should not worry about what to say when they're dragged into court. They just needed to wait on the Holy Spirit and allow Him to speak through them. So this is probably a good place to stop here, but I just wanted to remind us again of one of the big lessons that we learn from the book of Esther. Even though there's not a single reference to the Lord in this book, that is intentional, because it reminds us that the Lord is always working, even when we can't see Him. He works behind the scenes a lot of times, and we may not even realize what He is doing until later on down the road when we look back over our life. And then we realize that the Lord was working things out all along the way. So that's a very powerful lesson we get from this book of Esther. And I wanted to keep that thought before us as we go through the book. Now, before we close, we have to send out the offer for anyone to come to Christ who may not know him yet. So, friend, I need to let you know, Jesus died for your sins, and then he was buried after he paid for your sins completely on the cross. So he paid for your sins by giving up his own life. Then after 3 days, he was raised from the dead. And that meant that his sacrifice was accepted for you. It was accepted by God the Father. Do you believe that's true? If so, then you can receive Christ and your sins can be forgiven. Please consider doing this today. Let's all pray. Father, I thank you for your holy word of truth. I thank you, Lord, that you give us a chance to dig into your word and to see this amazing and powerful story and how these people trusted you, Lord, and you came through very strong. Father, I know when we face situations that seem impossible and the circumstances seem horrible, looks like there's no way out, I know, Father, we can call on you for help and you graciously hear us. Father, right now, I know in the troubles we face in the world, if we don't keep our eyes on you, it is enough to make us tremble in our boots, Lord. So, Father, I pray, help us to keep our eyes on you. Help us to keep your perspective in this world as we see this place, Lord, that this is not our home. We're just passing through, Lord. You told us that our citizenship is in heaven, and we are so, so grateful for that, Lord. So, Father, we look forward to the day that you rescue us from this world. But while you have us here, Lord, help us to be strong for you, to continue to trust in you. And we pray you would use us to reach many people for Christ. And, Lord, we give back to you all the praise, all the honor, all the glory, in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.